Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:59. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 29th, and today was a day where there were a lot of moves and were not able to hold either their highs or their lows. And I think a lot of the reason that that was the case, that we had such variability in performance between the beginning of the day and the end of the day, was because of Deutsche Bank. Because what happened if and in normal trading hours in Germany, Deutsche Bank was pretty much unchanged. But in after hours, as the US started to open up, what happened was Deutsche Bank, because Germany has rather funny trading hours, that it has one session in what would be considered normal business hours in Germany, and then it has a later session where it remains open as long as the US is open. And during that part of the session, the share declined significantly and actually went right down to test the $10 area. I think the low of the day was at $10.01. 10 euro and 1 cent, excuse me, and that was a new low overall. That continues to raise questions about the strength or the health of the Eurozone's banking sector. And certainly Deutsche Bank, because of its relative size and importance, the fact that it employs 100,000 people is obviously gaining a lot of headlines. And but of course, the reason that there are such problems is because the issues that the banking sector in Europe faces are not confined to Germany, or indeed to just one lender within Germany. Since most of the German banks have been nationalized already, the risk is that Deutsche and Commerzbank are in fact nationalized. But then you look at the Italian banking sector, and Italy is replete with banks. They have at least 10 or 11 listed banks, and they are in various states of disrepair, I think would probably be the most accurate way of describing them. And there are a significant number that are under really quite intense existential pressure. And then you switch over and look at Portugal, and it's a pretty similar story, that there are a number of the Portuguese lenders are in serious trouble. Therefore, we cannot rule out the potential that there could be a cascade effect, and that there could be a number of we could get a resumption of the banking crisis in Europe again. And part of the reason, of course, for this is because you have negative interest rates, and that is really a direct threat to the banking sector overall. You simply cannot expect banks to be able to make money when they are being charged both to borrow but also to lend. This is rather ridiculous. Obviously, the ECB has tried to soften that blow, and there are various options available where banks can get money, but it is just not the same thing as having a positive interest rate. So the banking sector is under severe stress, and the Eurozone economies aren't really great either. And there is cause for concern here. Now, obviously, if the Eurozone's banking sector could be the epicenter of a risk that is developing, then other markets, they may be affected, but obviously not to the same extent. And I think that it is a breaking news story. We'll generally see how it plays out. But for example, today the FTSE was up 1%. But it is really rather open to question whether it is going to be up tomorrow, because what we've had is that we've just been up one day, down the next. And in Asia this morning, the Nikkei was up 1.39% because the yen had been quite weak. It got as high today, excuse me, the dollar got as high today as I think it was over 101. It's currently trading at 101.03, but I think it was pretty much closer to 102 for a brief period and gave up almost the entire advance. And that would be just an indication that we are getting more volatility, and the VIX index today did pop on the upside. What we saw was that Wall Street was down 1%. The S&P 500 was as low today as 21.38 and closed out the day closer to 21.48. So even though it was down almost 1%, it was still off the low. The Nasdaq remains a a relative strength leader, and it is being led higher by some of its largest companies, and not least Amazon. Apple was a little bit weaker today, but not in a dynamic fashion. So this is a still a risk. I think it is an environment that where a certain amount of caution is deserved, and certainly when you look at the medium-term chart of, say, for example, the Nasdaq or the S&P, then you're presented with a market that ranged for a year and a half and has broken upwards. And the fact that there is so much caution being expressed, it would suggest that people are not heavily long, and they have not, to any great extent, participated in this breakout. And I think that what people are waiting for is some evidence that it is going to be sustained, that we're still in this rather difficult environment overall, because we have had an uptick in populism, we've had an uptick in geopolitical pressures, and not just in the South Sea of China, South Sea, but sorry, the South China Sea, excuse me, or in Europe, but that we're getting a kind of a more risky, a perception that we're in a more risky environment overall. And I believe that one of the things to particularly keep an eye on are government bonds, that treasuries today were up a bit, so we've had just and we're continuing to see that yields are pulling back from the trend mean, but you're still in a cautious environment overall in the bond markets, because the bond market is beginning to price in that there is the potential for an interest rate hike towards the end of this year. And because yields are so very low, a 25% interest rate hike will be a substantial move in terms of percentages, even though in nominal terms it is actually quite a small move overall. There is no arguing with the fact that we can rationalize the action in stock markets over the last 7 years any way we want. We could say that we had rock bottom valuations, so there was bound to be a rebound. We can say that economic growth has rebounded, but there is no arguing with the fact that when quantitative easing was in play by the Fed, we had a rally in 2010. We had a rally after 2011 when when QE2 got started, and then we rallied very persistently and consistently between 2012 and early 2015, because we had QE3, and we have been in a more rangy, more difficult environment overall since then, because the quantitative easing has been removed by the Fed. And even though both the Bank of Japan and the ECB are engaged in bond purchases, their negative interest rate policies are in at least in part sanitizing the stimulative effects that would otherwise have had. So then little wonder that people are expressing a more cautious tone overall. And then what we have is and pardon my phone for ringing, what we have then is this rangy environment. And we are seeing that it is the technology sector continues to lead us up out of this, that it is the technology sector overall that is marching higher. And another market that was not able to hold its high in here today was oil. Oil prices were up over $1 at the beginning of the session, and Brent crude finished up on the day about 43 cents. And I think people are starting to pick through what exactly was said yesterday. We had a reactionary bounce, but it's quite clear that OPEC might have agreed to a 750,000 barrel cut, but Iran won't be taking part. So Iran is in fact going to be pumping as hard as it can to try and recapture its lost market share that were as a result of all the sanctions. Then what does that say? It probably means that the real figure of a reduction is going to be considerably more modest than that, and that we are in a largely balanced market overall, and that oil prices despite that there is a short-term upward bias now as a result of the big upward dynamic that we had yesterday, it's still a range-bound environment overall. But as long as oil prices are not declining, then what we've had is that the oil sector has bounced. And most particularly, we've had a big bounce on the FTSE 350 oil and gas index. So that is certainly perhaps a more bullish factor overall for the energy sector. When we look at the resources sector, or the, for example, the LME Metals Index, or the FTSE 350 Mining Index, and then contrast that with the, for example, the currency adjusted performance of the ASEAN region. The nominal indices have been really flattered by the deterioration of the currencies until late last year. So if you look at, for example, the Asia ETF, and then contrast that with the FTSE 350 Mining Index and the London Metals Index, then you're getting three patterns that are very, very similar. And it would suggest that it is the kind of assets that have been so deeply oversold, and that investors are really looking for something that is cheap, and that is what we would expect at this part of the cycle, that we're just beginning to get interest rate hikes, but not in an aggressive fashion, and therefore it is the resources sector that should be starting to outperform here, and there is increasing evidence that that is indeed the case. And the yen today was another market, that so you had this move in the yen that led to a move in the Nikkei, but because it has pegged back, then we're probably not going to get a big rally on the Nikkei tomorrow, and that 17,000 level really does remain a psychological Rubicon. And what because the last 3 evenings I've been teaching a webinar for a private group, and I've it's possible to record the video as well as the audio. So I was thinking that tomorrow, for tomorrow's big picture long-term audio, I will both record the audio, but I will also record audio and video, and I'll post a video so that I can illustrate some of the charts that I'll be talking about, and then we'll and I'd be very happy if we could have some feedback from subscribers if that is something that you would like to see more of. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.